Divine Mercy Sunday has been one of my favorite feasts for a long time. And for many years, I've been looking forward to preaching it, so I finally made it. But I also knew coming in that this week was going to be a little bit of a tougher homily, because this is my last weekend here at the parish. It's my last Mass. And then on Monday, Pope Francis died, and I knew that I had to talk about his life. He's been Pope for almost half of my own life, certainly the most formative years. He was the Holy Father. But today we have this message of divine mercy, and it gives us a central theme that really unites all of these parts together. Because the message of divine mercy is that Jesus does not wait for us to come to him, but his love and mercy for us draws him to go out, to come to us and find us. It's not enough for Jesus to make forgiveness and mercy available to us. He has to search for us. That's the message of divine mercy. God is not a judge who waits for us to come to him to own up to what we've done wrong, but he's a father who runs out to us in our brokenness so that we will finally turn to him and receive healing. There is no sin so great that he cannot forgive, and he's ecstatic when we return to him. This is why he's willing to wait for countless hours in the priest, in the confessional, waiting for us. It's a place where the Father wants to bring healing to all of his children. And it's precisely this connection between divine mercy and confession that we have this gospel today. It contains that central moment where Jesus institutes the sacrament of confession. Jesus shares with his apostles the power to forgive sins, saying, "Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Only God can forgive sins. But Jesus shares this power with his apostles so that even though he'll no longer be with us physically, no longer walking with us, we can still come to him and his priests for forgiveness. He gave us confessions that the power of God would be easily accessible to us. We wouldn't have to question whether or not God hears our prayers asking for forgiveness, because we have the surety of Jesus speaking through the priest, saying, "I absolve you of your sins." And I'm sure Father Dan has told you something similar before, but now it's my turn to make this plea. I'll do so rather bluntly. So please, 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 go to confession. I say this to you as a professional sinner myself, a frequent flyer of confession, and as a future pastor. The greatest gift that you can give to your priest is establishing a habit of confession, coming back if it's been a long time. What we want most for you is that you would know and follow the Lord, who we have come to love, who we have given our lives to serve him and to serve you. And I know for a fact that if you want to encounter the personal love and mercy of Jesus for you, then go to confession and pour out your heart. He's there. He's waiting for you, waiting to restore you, to strengthen you in following him. One of Pope Francis's greatest lines and a theme that he came back to frequently in his pontificate was that God never tires of forgiving. It's we who tire of asking for his mercy. When Jesus spoke to St. Faustina about his divine mercy, so much of that message was simply trying to convince people to ask for forgiveness, to be generous with him by bringing him our sins, because he runs out to forgive us. In many ways, I think Pope Francis embodied the attitude that is so foundational to divine mercy. He constantly preached the necessity of going out to the poorest, going to the forgotten, to the peripheries. Peripheries was a word he used so often that even though I'd never heard of it before him, it became a regular part of my own language. And as Pope, he was constantly concerned with the poor, with visiting those who were isolated, with those who had never been visited before. I remember early on in his And when he first started, during Holy Week on Holy Thursday, he went to the prisons in Italy, and he visited the prisoners there. And I know frequently when he would travel to other countries, he'd make a point of going to a prison and visiting them. He saw the people who we so easily forget and made sure that they knew that God does not forget them, that God sees them, that God sees them and sees all of us in all the dark places where our sins in the world have led us. So many people feel trapped by their choices, by what is done to them. But he shows us that Jesus came to break chains. He came to bring us out of darkness. He's not afraid of our sinfulness. He's not afraid of the places where our brokenness have brought us. So by his example of going out to the people most in need of Jesus, Pope Francis reminded us that Jesus' heart is drawn to those most in need, and he called us to do the same, to look out for those on the peripheries in our own lives, and to truly see them, to offer them Jesus both in words and in our care for them. Most often, all God asks of us are small things for others, to do those small things well, to be faithful in showing love and mercy in small matters, so we can do so in great ones, to make just simple small gestures like Pope Francis, so people would know that God sees them through us, that they would encounter his divine mercy, they encounter his love in his heart and our love for them and our care for them. When I look back over this past year at the parish, many of the takeaways aren't that different from this. Just as Jesus in divine mercy is drawn to go out and to bring back those most in need of him, we cannot wait for people, for the people who need to hear the gospel to come to us. We need to go out to them. Like Jesus, the good shepherd, we must go in search of the lost sheep. One of the greatest parts of living with Father Dan over this past year is that's where his heart is. He has a heart for evangelization, for going out, reaching those people who desperately need Jesus but do not know him. Through his witness and through the experience of actually going out with the intention of proclaiming the gospel to those who haven't heard it before, my heart became more like Jesus. I learned to love and to seek after the lost, to share Jesus' joy at one person coming to him, at simply beginning to open their heart, his joy at someone just taking one step, a small step toward him, at hearing the gospel. It's been a blessing to see that same movement taking place here just on the parish level with all of you. Every person here is in a different place. Some are still coming to know Jesus for the first time. Today we'll have three who are being baptized, one who's confirmed. We're at the start of the journey. Some of us have been walking with Jesus for a while, but we're still called to go deeper. There's still more of our lives that we need to give over to him. There's more commitment that is being asked of us. And then there's others who have been firmly committed, and they have reached the point of being sent out on mission. They're like those in the gospel today. As the Father has sent me, so I send you to be witnesses. All of us, of course, are called to do that, no matter our experience, no matter how prepared we feel. But there are some who that is now their main mission, who they're continually being fed by Jesus, and they're ready to go. As a man who's soon going to be ordained, I'm so grateful for the witness of a parish that is committed to laying the foundation for that to happen. For a parish that is encouraging people to go out, to proclaim Christ, to be witnesses. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your commitment to Jesus. I can't imagine my life apart from him. And I'm so glad that there's so many here with me who can say the same thing. I'm so grateful that I got to walk with this community during this past year. So my final encouragement to you is to be generous in going to the Lord, whether that's in confession, whether that's in prayer. Because as we celebrate today, he is so eager to come close to you. Give him that opportunity.